Hello and welcome to episode 20 of The Perfect Cast. I'm Jack.
And I'm Lisa. This week we discuss what we do in the shadows and Killing Eve.
We also discuss making the cut and unorthodox.
That'll have to do, we've laughed too many times.
Okay, we're back. Don't know.
I don't know what you're saying.
What week are we in now?
Quarantine-wise?
Yeah.
This is week 4 for me.
Oh, okay.
So week 5 for you.
Is it? Or is it 6? I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5.
Oh, cool. Right. Things are getting smoother. I think week on week, everything's just, you know, starting to settle down.
Yeah, I think cabin fever kicked in early.
Right.
And then once you get past that, you sort of just accept that this is what it's like. I feel like I'm busier than ever, though. Like, it's weird because obviously we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm doing more work than I do at work. I'm seeing people more than I normally see them with Zoom calls.
Yeah.
So it's good that we're busy, but I feel like the house is slipped because of that, because we just don't have a second.
It's weird, but
then, we're home all the time, so there's no excuse.
If the place where you work, like live and see your friends, is all that same place,
yeah,
then it's gonna take a beating on the house, isn't it?
We had a few drinks on Zoom with family on Sunday, and when we got up in the morning, it looked like we'd had an actual party. There was so much crap and different drinks everywhere. I was just like, yeah. What did we do?
It was like a basic version of The Hangover.
It was bad, yeah.
It was fun, though.
It was good. We had fun.
And we're having a barbecue after this?
We are having a barbecue because the sun is shining.
And it's 20 degrees outside.
No, where do we think we live? Anyway, we said last week that we were going to watch a movie, and we made sure that we did this week.
At least one movie.
So should we talk about that first?
Yes.
So we watched...
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, it's a Taika Waititi film.
Yep.
You can find it on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
Also, the BBC have started their own series of it.
I don't think they've started it. There was a series after the film, because it's done by the guy...
No. Oh, I thought that was new. I don't know why. I think it's because it was like on the top of the BBC iPlayer.
It's newer than the film.
Yeah,
but not as... it's not new as in like 2020.
Okay. Well, there's me told. Anyway, what did you think of the film? Oh,
Jermaine Clement is the guy I was thinking of. That's the other writer with Taika Waititi.
Do you want to do like a briefing of what it is?
So... This was a recommendation actually from some of the lads at work, and I think I'd heard it off a few other people. But basically, it's a mockumentary film about three vampires who are living together in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. In like a house share.
In a house share. And just what their life is like. There's a big undead event coming up, and that's the sort of premise of the film. Is they're preparing for this undead event with all like the witches and zombies and stuff. But mainly, the main sort of premise is just following these vampires through their everyday life.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
It's so stupid. Like, I think I fought you on watching this for ages because, like, the trailer did not do it justice. The trailer made it look so naff. And I was like, I just don't want to watch it. It looks crap. But I think I was laughing more than you.
I think you were, yeah.
I mean, I love Taika Waititi. I think, like, he has got, like, an innocent, cheeky face.
Yeah.
And his character, you just, like, oh.
And his writing style as well. Like, you can tell there's something about it. Like, so with Jojo Rabbit, what made it funny was the way he played the character and his, like, accent that he was using.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with this, but also a lot of things that he does. Because it's got, like... I don't know if we find it funnier because of his like New Zealand accent.
I don't know, because I think for me, it's like The Office, because it's a documentary. They can look into the camera.
Yeah.
Every now and then, he'll just look into the camera and do like this little non-teeth, like just grin.
Yeah.
And you just like.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the humour of it was just like exactly our kind of humour.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably one of my favourite things. But also like The special effects they did were really good.
I know, I was surprised at that. Like, at first...
Like, they had them turning into bats. Then they had, like, the no reflection. And then they were playing that game of Pac-Man without the reflection in the mirror.
Yeah, like, they have a mirror in the house. So they just, like, ooh, there's a floating cup. Look at the floating cup.
This is what was making me laugh, like, the most, though, is all the bits that are, like, you know, like, oh, vampires don't, like... garlic, or they don't like this, or they don't have a reflection, or they have to be invited in. Mm-hmm. So there's like a scene of them wandering around on a night out, like around the streets of New Zealand, and they're going to the bouncers like, no, you have to invite us in. And they're like, oh, you can just walk in, mate. It's, you know, yeah, it's a club, you don't have to be invited, you can just walk in. And like,
just say that you'll invite us. Yeah. It's just stupid, bit of fun. Definitely a good quarantine watch if you just want like a bit of a laugh on an evening.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like that, it's like, it was quite long actually, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
I think part of me, I didn't want it to end, like, and I knew there was a series, but what I was disappointed about with the series was it wasn't the same guys. It was like directed and written by the same people, but because it was like,
it was British actors but set in America.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird.
And you said it yesterday, like, the characters are relatable and you really like them.
Yeah,
by the end of the film, and you want more of it, but then it's not the same characters. But then I don't know, it sort of felt like they were trying to play those characters instead of like doing something new.
The main guy was talking like Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
And he was being very soft and gentle and a bit of the house nag. And I was a bit like, okay, we've already done this character, so you should make it your own if we're going to make a season out of it, and mm-hmm. they're going to be different characters. And not just that, but I didn't warm to any of them. They were all a bit annoying and I didn't like any of them. Yeah. So I was like, how am I going to want to come back to watch this when all of the characters are not likable?
That said, it was the pilot, which is never
the best. I know, we did say we'd give it another chance, but we'd watched it straight after watching the movie, so I think that was hard to sort of get your head around. But I think if we go back to watch it, we'll let you know if we watch the series.
Definitely. But yeah, I'm glad for the recommendation.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd definitely watch that again. I do like pretty much everything. In fact, we like everything Taika Waititi does. So
yeah.
That was it.
What would you rate it?
The film,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5.
I was going to do the same, but then I was like, is that too high? I'm going to go with 4 out of 5.
You know what? It's okay to give things a high rating, Lisa. Okay to enjoy.
But then I'm like, would I sit down and watch that again within the next month?
Well, within a month, that's a bit like,
well,
you
that's
know.
How my ratings work. Okay. I'm an obsessive sort of person, so I will watch things over and over.
Yeah.
Like last week I talked about Pen15. Literally started it again.
Fair enough. Well, right now, after watching one episode of the TV series, What We Do in the Shadows, yeah, I'm at 2 out of 5. It needs to really up its game in order for me to start enjoying it.
Yeah, 2 out of 5 for me as well. It was a bit naff. But like you said, it's the pilot. They're probably just setting the scene for a lot of people who may not have seen the film, but...
So, What We Do in the Shadows, the film, is available on Amazon Prime. And What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, is now on BBC iPlayer.
Yep.
So, speaking of BBC iPlayer.
Yes.
Killing Eve, Series 3.
Like, there was no warning that it was coming back. It was just like, it's back on Monday.
Do you know what? There was probably did billboards and a massive print thing.
Maybe.
And no one's been able to see them because no one's allowed to go.
But
anywhere.
I follow Jodie Comer. And she's not promoted it at all. Like, it's not been promoted at all.
I've been on the BBC website quite a bit, so it's been on there.
Oh, has it? Yeah. But I told you.
It's further down. And like, there's like,
I was going to BBC News.
Like,
anyway,
it looks like they're both wearing one massive red dress.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know it was coming back. We're on episode 2 so far.
Yes.
We were going to talk about it last week, but we thought we'd get like our teeth sunk in before we discussed it.
Yeah, so we caught up with Killing Eve to series 2.
Yes.
So we binge watched series 1 and series 2. So now we're finally watching it
weekly.
Into like how it's being intended. Yeah, each episode arrives once a week. And I'm preferring that because towards the end of series 2, I was a bit done.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way series 2 ended.
I didn't like series 2 anyway. I think we discussed this a few
like episodes ago.
But yeah, I didn't really like season two as a whole. The first half of season two was okay, but then it just got a bit like, what's going on? I didn't care. And then obviously the way it ended was a bit like, oh, okay, I guess that's it then.
Yeah.
And now
I think we're okay to talk about the way series two ended.
Oh, okay.
Like, at some point, it's been out for long enough.
Yeah.
So there. Okay, spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Eve gets shot at the end of series two and is presumed dead. You just
assume that she's dead because Villanelle's shot her and she's like a professional
assassin.
Assassin, so surely she's got it right.
Yeah. But
apparently she's not. Apparently Eve got up and got herself seen too and survived.
Well, I don't think she got up. I think, yeah, she paramedics arrived on the scene.
Yeah, they've not really gone into like how she survived. Yeah. But episode one.
Right. So it makes you lead to believe for about 2 minutes that Eve is living in China, because she's in a Chinese supermarket buying all Chinese products.
Oh, okay.
And speaking Chinese. And then she goes out on the street and everyone's Chinese. And then a British bloke bumps into her and is like, oh, sorry, love. And then it cuts to the big text that they do. And she's like in the middle of London somewhere.
I didn't get onto that at all. I just thought she was going to an Asian supermarket in the UK. Didn't even think that at all.
It's because...
Well, that's just me. Like, I'm probably dozy. Didn't even pick up on.
You see Villanelle in... I can't remember what country she starts off in because she's bounced around.
Yeah, but again, she's getting married.
And you're like, hang on, what's going on here? So they bring you up to speed with Villanelle, who meets her old assassin manager, keeper.
Yeah.
Is what they call them. So they've reconnected after having a big fight.
So she's come back to join the 12.
Yeah.
So she wants to become an assassin, but she wants to move higher up in like a better ranking. So she wants to be a manager of someone as well.
Yeah.
So she, like we see in the second episode, that she's going to start training people to become assassins.
Yeah. Which I think that's going to be quite a funny character arc based on episode two.
She's just got no patience for anyone. So if you mess up, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cutthroat.
Yeah, literally.
So I thought that was pretty funny. And then, like, Eve's story so far has just been a bit...
She's mopey.
Bit dull, a bit mopey. But obviously that's just, you know, where she is, but... I think
but she was mopey in the last season as well. Like, come on, Eve, pull up your socks, get on with your day.
Bit of a pickup here. But there was a lot of focus around Kenny on episode one.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And technically a lot of focus around Kenny on episode two.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be honest, I know episode one's just bringing you up to speed with where the characters are at. It's a bit like the sort of first episode. When you come back to a season in Game of Thrones, it's like, here's where all the characters are at and nothing exciting happens.
Yeah, like, I felt myself wanting to look at my phone. Like, I was a bit... Meh.
Just a bit done, because it's like 40 to 50 minutes
an
episode. And you're like, come
episode
on.
Episode two, I was...
Move things along.
I enjoyed, and it felt like it was getting somewhere and it was setting scenes for what could come
from
the series.
Just to finish a point on episode one.
Sorry.
It has a good ending.
Yes.
And... It did exactly what the first episode of a show should do.
Dug into you, you're coming back next week.
Here's a reason to watch. Here's a reason to carry on watching. But for the first, like, half an hour, I was like, come on.
Oh, no, we've met them before.
Give me something here. Yeah. Give me something. And it did. It provided that... what's the word I'm looking for? That sort of hanger. Yeah, it's the reward I was after.
Yeah.
For watching. It gave me that, like...
It was good. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the rest of the series. If you've never watched Killing Eve, it's all on BBC iPlayer. It's a really good BBC drama. Like, they've done really well.
Yeah. It has less of that BBC feel to it. the BBC-ness of television shows. Ah. It still had scenes like that.
Okay.
Throughout, and I was like, it's just so...
I think you're just a bit...
Stereotypically BBC, and it just... It cuts deep every time.
I don't really know what you're on about.
I want you to compare it to
a non-BBC and what the issue is, because I just think it's a drama, and that's just what dramas look like.
I think you've just got an issue with British dramas. And they're always in, like, dreary offices as well.
Well, that's what offices are like, Spud.
Well,
you work fit. You do more interesting work than people who work in general offices.
But the office in question is like for a newspaper, and from the sounds of it, an internet-based one at that. So, you know, I need more.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, so Killing Eve Series 3, it's getting there.
It's only just started.
We're going to stick with it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that Monday night summit to watch on the weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but speaking of binge watching, you finished Unorthodox.
I did. So I've heard a few people say that it's really good. Didn't really know what it was about. I got a bit confused because someone had said about it being real. So I thought it was a documentary. So
right,
that's
okay.
Why I'd put off watching it for so long. But it's not. It's loosely based on a true story.
So this is a new release on Netflix?
It's been out for about 2 months.
Right, okay.
So it's it's Unorthodox. It's on Netflix. All the episodes. It's only 4 episodes. It's only a short, short TV show.
Yeah.
It's a drama.
A miniseries.
Yeah, a miniseries. A drama based loosely on someone's life.
Yes.
So the person who they've based it on has written a book, and the people who made the show loved the book so much that they asked if they could do something with it. But they wanted it to, because it's based on a real person who's still quite young, they didn't want to sort of be too intrusive, so they just took part of her life
And
dramatized it.
Yeah.
So basically it's about an Orthodox Jewish girl who lives in Williamsburg, New York.
Okay.
They are, I can't remember the type of Orthodox Jew, but basically in Williamsburg, New York, there's a community of Jewish people who came from Hungary after the war who still talk Yiddish.
Right.
They have made their beliefs around basically surviving the war.
Right.
So for them, the whole purpose is to regenerate families.
Yeah.
Yeah, to regenerate families, to try and make as many people back in their community as they have lost in the Holocaust.
So they want to sort of like recolonize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do it in a way that seems normal to them because that's what they're used to. But basically, you grow up to get married. If you're a woman, you are a baby machine. You cook, you clean, you have babies for the man. If you're a man, they work. They come home every night and they sleep in separate beds, married couples.
Right.
But on a Friday, if the woman hasn't had her period, then they have to have unprotected sex to try and get the woman pregnant. And then once she's had that baby, that starts again.
Right.
So
a lot of them
are having like 6 to 10 babies.
Wow.
Like in a lifetime.
Right.
And that is their only purpose. And if you're like a barren woman, can't have kids, then you get divorced and you are basically bottom.
Shunned.
Yeah. You're not part of
that society.
Yeah.
Almost.
So people don't want to know you. You're an outcast.
It reminds me a lot of a book by Chuck Palahniuk called Survivor.
It reminds me a lot of Handmaid's Tale, but this is real life.
Yeah. I think that's the scary thing. And sort of like a Amish community, but not Amish.
So with this community, when you get married, you've got to shave your head as a woman,
right?
Because only your husband can see your hair, I think.
Yeah.
Or only God can see your hair because it's seen as sexual.
Okay.
So they shave your head. You can wear a wig, or you can wear like a head wrap.
Yep.
You can't sing in public because you're asking for attention and that could be seen as sexual.
Right, yeah.
So you can't do anything, basically. You cook, you clean, you make babies, and that is all you're good for.
Wow.
Misogyny
at its finest.
She is 19. This Esther, the main character,
right.
She's 19. She's been married for a few months and she has found that she has got some issues downstairs, which makes it extremely painful for sex.
Right.
Which means that she's not getting pregnant,
mm-hmm.
which means the family are getting a bit frustrated with her.
Yeah.
So he
And wants... you don't want to be a bad woman in this society.
No. So he is sort of like pressuring her to just do it let him finish, basically.
Right, okay.
Get it
over and done with.
Yeah. Even if it's super painful, just let him do it because otherwise they'll never get pregnant.
Right.
So she contacts someone who she knows on the outside of this community and she helps her escape to Berlin.
Right.
That's where this real lady story ends.
Okay, she gets out.
That all of the bit in Williamsburg is true.
Right, wow.
Outside of Williamsburg, that's when Netflix takes over and this is a completely made-up story.
I guess that's a really nice way of going, right, here's a good way of telling your story without you now having your life ruined.
Exactly. So she goes to Berlin because that's where her estranged mother has moved to.
Right.
But then she sees her mum on the street kissing another woman, and that's obviously a big no-no in her, like, upbringing. Mm-hmm. So she decides to sleep in a music hall for the time being. She meets some people. She wants to be a musician, but obviously it was forbidden in her old life. So it's just, like, she's learning to show bits of skin. So, like, her arm, when you can't show your arms and you can't show your legs or anything. Yeah. So she starts trying T-shirts or jeans, or she takes a wig off, exposes her hair. Like, just things that are normal to us, but are, like, a big, like, big thing for her. And it's quite an emotional TV show. When the husband finds out she's gone, they find out that she's gone to Berlin, and they go and hunt her down to try and bring her back because they find out she's actually pregnant.
Right.
So that's his baby, that's his property. So he needs her to come
back. So how did they find out? Wait, who finds out that she's pregnant? Her husband?
The husband finds out they're pregnant because there's a message on the machine about an ultrasound.
Right.
Because she knew she was pregnant, but she didn't want it to grow up.
Right, there. Okay, yeah.
So
that's why she was
trying
out.
To escape, yeah.
Okay.
It's really moving.
Yeah.
It's only 4 episodes long.
It sounds like a heavy watch.
It is, but it isn't. Like, it's almost, like, inspiring that, like, she could do what she, like, she got out of a bad situation and made the best out of it. Like,
right.
It's amazing what she does. It's sad. Like, it's heartbreaking to watch at times, but it's also liberating.
Right, I see what you mean, yeah. So, you're seeing her go through this, like, tough experience.
Yeah.
And that's probably the hard watch, but at the same time, she's coping and surviving and getting through it and doing what she can, and that's the sort of joy of watching it.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I think you should watch it. I think you should sit and watch it because I think it's brilliant. I think it's one of the best dramas on Netflix Netflix have done.
Oh wow, okay. So how long is each episode about?
I think they're about an hour long. I don't know. I didn't really notice because I was sort of working while I was watching it. But it's all in Yiddish, so it is subtitled.
Yeah.
And then when she goes to Berlin, they do speak English because she meets people who... Yeah. And that's the only other language she can speak is English because obviously she's grown up in America.
Yeah.
I know this description of this show isn't very good and I've sort of waffled, but I can guarantee...
I think the description's fine. I think you left it in a good place as well, so for people to go and watch it.
Yeah. Once you finished watching it, they also did an unorthodox making of TV show on Netflix. It's only 20 minutes long and it sort of explains, like, how they
tied the two did stories
Yiddish
together.
How, like, you see the real woman it's based on, you get to see, like, behind the scenes, like, how they got costumes and where they filmed in Berlin and blah blah blah.
But I think Netflix, like, in order to keep up with Disney Plus now, needs to do that a bit more and all like have those special features. Yeah. And, like, director's
good.
Cut and so on and so forth.
I just think it's interesting that they took Esther to Berlin of all places.
Right.
Like, she's a Jewish girl who comes from a community who is still grieving the Holocaust.
Yeah.
I know everyone still grieves the Holocaust, but these people are, that's their whole life is replenish their community because of the Holocaust. So, and then, like, they bring it up all the time, like, in meals and stuff, and it's all they can think about. But she chooses to go to Berlin,
the capital of the place that caused the Holocaust.
Yeah, and, like, she goes to, like, the beach at one point, and one of the boys says, oh, over there, like, there's an island, that's where the Nazis used to do this, that, and the other. And when the Berlin Wall was up, we tried to swim across this lake, and you get shot instantly. And she's like, and you're gonna go play in it? Why would you go play in water that has such bad memories? And he's like, because it's water.
Yeah,
like, if you've got to move on,
like, right, yeah,
it's the past, it's water's water, it doesn't matter what happened in it, like, just, you've got to move forward. It's just, like seeing her eyes sort of like open and life can be different and she can escape it.
Yeah,
it's really good. Cool. And they've done it in such a clever way, and it's lovely.
What's the rating?
4.5.
4.5?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's high. So you watched it again within a month?
Yeah. If you wanted to sit and watch it, I'd sit and watch it with you.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely give that a go at some point.
Okay.
Whilst we're still on Netflix, I left Better Call Saul for the last two episodes and then watched them back to back this week. So this concludes series 5. And they're definitely going to do a series 6. And I think they're probably going to do a series 7. Like, I'm really enjoying Better Call Saul. But I just need them to just
finish, tie it together.
Like,
is it feeling a bit like Lost where they're just like,
no,
we're dragging this out for as long as we can?
It's not dragging, because I think they've got a set like path of things to happen.
Yeah.
Certain things need to fall into place in order for the two stories to tie together.
Yeah.
But right now, I feel like I'm holding two ends of like, what, like the, you know when you put two plugs together and you just, and they've not quite got enough on one, like to go off on one side, enough to go on the other side, and then eventually they just connect.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, come on, just, I need Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul to just connect together. But it ended well. It was a cool ending. Big shootout.
Oh, okay.
You know, that sort of like, you know, will this happen? Won't this happen? Series 9, episode 9, it got a little bit like, ooh, is this going to happen? And then, you know, like on the edge of my seat, I was like hiding behind like my t-shirt type thing. Just like, so it gets gritty. So
gets gritty.
That's just a little update on Better Call Saul. If you've been watching it, get on it. And if you're not,
get on it.
That doesn't make any sense. If you're watching it, carry on watching it. If you're not watching it, get back on Better Call Saul, because it's
getting going.
It's been going for a while, Lisa. You gave up too early.
Oh, I didn't.
Right. Have you got any other Netflix recommendations?
No, but the only other thing we watched this week was on Amazon Prime.
Right.
And that was
Project Runway
2.0, also known as Making the Cut.
Making the Cut.
Which is Heidi Klum's and Tim Gunn's new designer TV show.
It's Amazon's answer to the Tan France one we watched recently.
Yeah, they have put a lot of money into this.
Oh, they are just like mega bucks.
So you can win $1 million, basically. The winner of this competition will win $1 million. It starts off and they're all in America, like meeting up for the first time. And there's people from all over the world. So you've got Americans, Canadians, got a guy from Berlin, a girl from Berlin, guy from Bruges or Belgium, Italy, that sort of, Malta, I think at one point there was a girl from Malta.
There's people just from everywhere.
Lots of different people.
And they've all met in this one place in New York.
Fly to America, and then Heidi Klum goes, our office is going to be in Paris. So they all have to fly to Paris, and the guy from the guy from Belgium's like, that's literally like 2 hours from my house. Yeah. I've flown all the way to America to go back to my home.
That
annoyed me.
That played on my mind for a lot of the show. I was like, this is silly.
I was just like, really, why have they done that?
otherwise, I really enjoy this show.
It took a minute to get going. They focused a lot on one person for two episodes. And it was so frustrating because she was the worst. But
she is the worst.
Yeah. But once they'd stopped focusing on her and gave other people a bit of limelight, I started to enjoy it a lot more. It's very cutthroat. The judges are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Big, like, one thing to take from this that I've really enjoyed is there's even less bitchy drama than Project Runway, and that had next to none.
Yeah.
And it's, like, heavy competition.
Mm.
However, they've done what is the Tan France one called? It's gonna bother me.
I can't think of
Next in Fashion.
Next in Fashion.
Right. So they've done the Next in Fashion style, where instead of having amateur designers, they've already got a name for themselves, bit of a fashion brand, done a bit of like high level work, and it's then taken them from being that to probably, you know, fashion superstars essentially.
But yeah.
Which is probably why they're ploughing so much money into it.
So it is interesting the way they do it. So they basically, they get all the bits and bobs, cut all the patterns out, and then they put it in a bag and send it to a seamstress, so they don't actually have to like pop things together. But sometimes if their notes aren't clear enough, or they've not provided the right amount of stuff,
yeah,
or put too much stuff
put
in,
a proper brief together,
the seamstress won't put it together, so yeah, they've got to like rush and do it, but they won't find out till the next day.
But this is great because it's more real. Well, it's more realistic, even though it's in that like competition level.
It is good, but Tim Gunn has not said make it work once, and
no,
I'm
not
furious. But they do these like weird Tim and Heidi like
little snippets.
Yeah, it's very strange, but I'm
they're quite enjoyable actually. So episode one and episode two are very similar, but yeah, then in episode three, they've now also, similar to Next in Fashion, asked people to work together to collaborate.
Yeah. I think it's just this one episode.
Just this one episode, but it is fun and exciting to see them having to collaborate and, you know, all the twists and turns of the contrasts between the two designers.
And how well some people, like there's some people that I was rooting for and I was like, this guy is amazing. And then once they're in the collaboration, he's like sitting upstairs on his phone, like doing, letting the other person do all the hard work. And you're like, oh, okay, so you're not that great, are you? You're just letting other people carry you, like...
Yeah, carry them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I that would annoy me, but I'm still really trying to just not focus on like any of the like any form of drama.
No,
I just don't care about it.
I know. But that what I'm saying is like work wise, that's not a good person to work with if they would let other people carry the weight.
Yeah, it should be like 50-50 after.
Yeah.
Or there's, I think, is it Troy and James or Josh? Josh?
Troy?
No,
it might be Troy. I don't. I'm still new on names. I'm still learning.
I can't remember. There's one team.
Oh, I think
that
it is.
Basically they went, you're good at this, I'm good at this.
Let's play.
I'm
going to
do this, and you're going to do this. And they were like, yep, great. And I ended up.
You took a phone call, so we didn't finish that episode.
But I think they're going to do really well.
Me too. I hope so.
Interestingly, I like the way they do the judging. So they'll have like a big show and it's always like really beautiful. So it's one of them was in front of the Eiffel Tower.
One of them is in the Louvre.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that gives it a really good setting for what they're showing. Instead of it just being like on a normal runway, you can actually see some of these like fantastic designs in a fantastic setting, which just completely changes your perspective on it. But then it's like, instead of them going through every designer, they'll just pick out some and go, right, here's what we think. And
I think they just basically pick top two, bottom two, and then they just talk to them.
Yeah, but it's... have no idea who's coming or going.
Because all they say is, have you changed your mind about our verdict? And all of the judges go, no. And then they're like, you're out or you're in. And you're just like, oh my God.
Well, I can't tell what's happening. Now that's the drama
cards close to the chest until very last minute, and you're like, oh,
that's the drama I can get behind.
Yeah, it's quite good. I'm enjoying it. I'm glad Tim and Heidi are back because they're
a good team.
They're odd.
As much as I've forgotten her name, the girl in Next in Fashion.
Alexa Chung.
Yeah, like Tam France and Alexa Chung works well together. But they're almost
awkward.
Like...
They're like, oh, I don't know. I think I hate, you know, when they're doing like little bits and they're trying to act and I'm just like, stop it. It's too forced.
Whereas, but they've only done one series.
No, I know. Whereas Heidi and Tim, they
Project
are
Runway
forced.
Went up to, like,
but
series.
Yeah, but 12. They never used to do stuff like that on Project Runway.
Yeah, I know, but they've got the working relationship, haven't they?
But they're not forced. I mean, they are forced, but it's like in a cheeky, tongue-in-cheek sort of way. Not in a... I don't know. I just think this... I think I preferred Next in Fashion, but I quite like this.
just one final point. At the end of episode two, they did like a coming up trailer, which really annoyed me.
Everything.
I know. So we were like, turn it off. But I did have an idea that this might happen. I don't think they're going to stay in Paris.
No, neither do I.
They showed shots of Tokyo, which looks awesome. And I'm not sure if there's a third place as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I like that they're moving things around and you're seeing different areas and.
Do you think this show is coming out weekly, but I don't know how long it's been coming out weekly?
It's on episode 8 at the moment.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So
if it's on episode 9, next time we turn the TV on, we'll probably suggest it's coming out weekly.
Yeah, because I vaguely remember seeing like the big banner for it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Like a few weeks ago. So I don't know if it's finished, but I know it is a weekly show if it does come back for another season. But yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. See what happens.
Yeah, so if you enjoy that sort of thing and, you know, a bit of competition TV shows, then check it out on Amazon Prime next.
Yeah.
What's it called? Making the Cut.
Making the Cut on Amazon Prime. Right, cool. So that's it from TV and film.
We don't have a game this week. We've just been too busy.
We've been very busy. And do you know what? I'm a bit quizzed out.
We've been doing the Jimmy Carr quizzes every night. And then on like Thursday, Friday and Saturday, we had quizzes. So and I hosted a big family quiz. You hosted a quiz.
Yep.
So we've done a lot of quizzes the past few weeks.
And we've got more quizzes coming up this week, which I am happy to do. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to.
I've just not had time to make one for this.
Yes.
Sorry.
So many quizzes.
But hopefully we've given you some suggestions to watch or some comments that you could disagree with us about or agree with us about.
Yep.
But yeah, we've got a couple of things lined up to watch this week. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope you're all safe. Stay at home and all that.
And we'll be back next week. We'll make sure we've got another movie, maybe a couple of movies.
Don't
want to overpromise.
Yeah.
Got a lot of quizzes to do in the next couple of...
We've got lots to do.
Days. And I'm ready for this barbecue.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Let's go.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you could leave us a review, it helps more people find the show.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at PerfectCastPod.
Or you can send us an email at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com.
All links in the show notes and we'll see you next week. Hello and welcome to episode 20 of The Perfect Cast. I'm Jack.
And I'm Lisa. This week we discuss what we do in the shadows and Killer Eve.
Why is that funny?
Because it's like, we discuss what we do in the shadows.
Oh.